I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, I think we should start, Megan, by talking about the elephant in the room, so to speak.
Okay.
Everything that has happened in the last week in regards to Jenny from Salt Lake City. So I think it's probably best that we just share the statement from Bravo, because it essentially sums up what's going on.
Right.
So the statement is as follows. Bravo has ceased filming with Jenny Wynn, and she will no longer be a cast member of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We recognize we failed to take appropriate action once her offensive social media posts were brought to our attention. Moving forward, we will work to improve our processes to ensure we make better informed and more thoughtful casting decisions.
Well, I don't know that there's much else to say other than that statement. I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, I think so too.
In lighter news, we got trailers for both Below Deck Sailing Yacht Season 3 and the new show Candy and the Gang.
Oh my God, I am so excited that Bravo is doing more of these spin-off shows or solo shows with some of our talent. I mean, we just had Portia's Family Matters. Now we got Candy and the Gang. And who doesn't want to hang out with the old lady gang? Like, let's be real. Should we play those trailers?
Yeah.
4 years ago, my husband Todd and I started a family restaurant called The Old Lady Gang. OLG was a hit.
What now is dysfunctional?
Cheers to the Virgo.
Between your family and some of that staff.
I'm the host. I can say whatever I want to say.
Those people crazy in there.
Write your order down. I'll be back to get it, okay?
Right? Tell me who your favorite staff members are.
This season on Candy and the Gang.
Oh my God, a little slippery over here.
Oh, well that's nice.
That booty look right for 72.
You about to be rich, bitch.
Everybody the co-worker too at Old Lady Gang.
Just focus on me.
All right.
You know, we tugged and pulled. This is torn.
Me and Patrick was in a situationship.
We was never like this. We was like this.
I was just like, okay, here, Trey. Somebody you have sex with and they give you money.
He is my grandbaby. And I tell him he's a
player.
I can't see it on TV. He was a hoe.
You're a manager having a relationship with someone that they manage.
Hey, you know it's not worth it.
So you dumped me?
Wanted to go gossip, you little ass boy.
I never said your name.
I don't give a
f
if you
stirred
my name.
It was dumb, bro. Asking for help was dumb.
Don't walk away.
I just feel like every manager come in and act like Superman and Kryptonite hit.
There's a certain level of decorum in a professional environment that you have to exude. I'm not adjusting.
Now you tripping.
I pay you. You don't pay me.
He's not gonna give no f.
We need to know that you on the team.
I'll fire her now.
You can't fire all of our people.
No, Ken, but you as her son.
But you're not leading in that kitchen.
I am.
You take away from him.
No, I'm not taking that
away. Dude. As a family, we need to be on the same page.
I have never, ever said that was my mother restaurant. A lie is a lie.
Throw your foot down like I did.
You are the church.
Okay. All right, let's cut. And the next time that we sit down and do this,
oh. We got to do this again?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Hey. All crew, I'm going to start getting ready to get sails up.
When you go sailing, you never really know what the conditions are going to be like. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it.
She's cranked over. Look at her.
Oh, wow, look at this.
It's starting to tilt.
Oh, look, it's tilt.
Scoot on your booty.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we actually...
We're underwater.
Here we f***ing go.
I'm really excited for this season. I'm excited to have some new faces, some familiar faces.
The thing about yachting that makes it difficult is not the guests, not living on a boat. It's the f***ing elements.
Do you got to give someone a hurricane?
Smack him!
Yeah!
I kind of look like my grandma, though.
Somebody order a dad bod.
I'm getting f***ed up today.
You're chugging it.
those dang courses, I'm gonna blow their mind.
I'm not gonna eat that because that's gross. I've gotten better food at the ballpark.
I am the most fabulous cheese cheese that has ever walked this earth.
I'm funny, I'm charismatic. I do enjoy long walks on the beach.
I do enjoy a little bit of drama here and there. It keeps me entertained.
None of these other chicks are gonna go for you because you're 20 years younger than them.
None of the girls.
I wanna make sure the guest experience is the best we can give.
Gary's striptease feels like a chicken having a fit.
Keep going.
Oh my gosh.
Hope you didn't ruin my phone.
Now, feel I was the cause of a lot of drama last season. I'm not gonna have sex with the first chick that throws herself at me. Gary's new leaf has been turned, girl.
I do want to get to know Gary, but I also kind of just want to like make out
with him. Ashley is smoking.
You're so young. You're so young.
No, you're the same age as
no,
me.
No, I'm a year older.
All of you are forgetting the f***ing lack of basic respect. You don't f*** somebody and f*** somebody else.
I got my head. He's taking the top of his scalp off.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm gonna break! I'm over this, eh? I'm f***ing over this.
The most important thing, especially for tonight, is just to be vigilant.
Don't respect you.
The moment you think, should I get them up? Come and get us up.
I think we'll drag an anchor. We're sat in 2 meters of water. Are we gonna run aground here?
You can lose the boat. It's about as serious as it gets.
We dragged anchor. I think we're stuck.
Okay, first of all, Gary's back and did not get a haircut.
You know, it's his signature, so now he can't get rid of it, even if he wanted to, I think is the thing.
Very true. Were you surprised by the makeout session between him and Daisy?
I gasped. Like, what? But I think it's true that, like, the more you, like, quote-unquote hate someone, the more you actually kind of like them.
I know. It's one of those things that maybe Daisy's like, I just got to get it out of the way, you know?
Yes. I'm really excited for this season. I love Below Deck Sailing Yacht.
You know what's so interesting is, you know how they've always said about Sex and the City that New York City is kind of the fifth character in the show?
Right.
I feel like the sailing yacht is the additional cast member on this show, because there's always some drama with the boat.
Wait, now that you've brought it up, have you been watching And Just Like That?
Okay, I watched the very first episode.
Yeah.
And it just was not doing it for me.
Right.
What about you?
I kind of keep torturing myself. Each week I watch it, and each week I wish I didn't.
I want to enjoy it, but I'm not sure I can.
Right, yeah. Fair. So what are we talking about today?
Okay, well, I think we need to talk about the Vanderpump Rules reunion, because what a roller coaster of emotion.
Yes, and plus, I mean, we love a reunion.
Yeah, obviously. And I think we also need to talk about Salt Lake City and the latest episode of Summer House.
Okay. Can we start with Vanderpump Rules?
Yes, please.
Okay, so right off the bat, it was so emotional with James and Raquel. I have to say, though, I feel like we are witnessing growth here, because James has never been one to have a smooth, mature breakup, you know, and like they even, you know, they show the clips from the past seasons with him and how like he spit on Kristen's door and he called her a slut. Like, so we've seen that part of James.
Yeah.
It was really nice to see two adults decide that what was best for their collective future was to part ways.
Yeah. And not only that, the way they presented it to the group, even though James had to dodge a few bullets here and there, I think the way that they both on a united front discussed it at this reunion was also a sign of James's maturity. But I've been a huge Raquel fan from the beginning, and I really think that the way she composed herself throughout this entire reunion was just so telling of who she really is beneath the surface. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was funny that, Eric, you slacked me as you were watching. I had already seen it. And you were just like, oh my God, they broke up. Oh my God. They haven't had sex in 2 years.
Yes.
Which is always, to me, the shocking part of breakups. Because by the way, in my experience talking to people, that is not uncommon. Like, when you hear that someone has broken up, I feel like often they'll reveal some detail like that. And you're just like, didn't you see it coming then? You know,
right.
Like.
I know. I think some people are just like, oh, we're going through a moment. It's just, we're not into that right now. But maybe it is more telling as to what's happening between the two people in a relationship.
Well, and especially that she revealed they haven't had sex, or at least not regularly. Like, there was some, like, sort of, well, maybe they did at some certain points. Anyway, not that it's really any of our business, but that she said it was since he sent all those rage texts to her, which it's like, yeah, of course. Like, she no longer felt safe with him, you know, didn't know when the next outburst was going to be, didn't know how he really, like, I just felt that was so important that she shared that, because I do feel like when you cross a line in a relationship, it's hard to go back.
I know. Yeah, it's true. And, you know, it's tough because I do have a lot of compassion for James, and we have seen so much maturity from him, but they always say that women are more mature than men. Like, they do just grow up and mature faster than men. And I think that's a perfect example is this relationship, that Raquel really is someone who wants to move forward in her life, wants to have a positive impact on the world, wants to have a positive impact on the people in her life. And she did have that for James, but I think there's only so much that she could give and only so much that he can take from someone else, because I think he needs to now take the steps to really think about what he needs to do to better himself for his own well-being and for that of any future girlfriend, wife, what have you.
I have to say, I really got emotional at the end of the reunion when they were saying goodbye, because, you know, it's them sort of having to talk about the logistics of her taking the dog. And is this going to be the last night I see him? And then him just saying, you know, you can reach out to me if you ever need anything. It was just, because I do think it's sad because it's not volatile. It's not like, I hate you, you cheated on me. It's just like, you know what, I love you, but I don't think we're soulmates. And so we have to say goodbye.
Raquel and James, who's going to get custody of the dog?
Right?
Graham Cracker. Oh,
I am.
I know.
I know, that's heartbreaking in its own. My parents got Graham for me as a graduation gift, so I will be taking custody of the dog.
Right.
And I never need anything, just call me.
I know. Yeah, that was a tough part to watch. And I think that is when I got the most emotional, because I did choke up a lot throughout this reunion at various parts, definitely at the beginning talking about, you know, the actual split. But then right at the very end, it was so charged. Like, that moment had so much emotion in it, but nobody cried, nobody yelled, nobody got overly upset. But I think that was sort of the saddest part. It was just this mutual, like, here we part ways. And we know, you know, the next day Raquel moved out, he probably went home and said goodbye to the dog. And you're just like, you kind of imagine those moments in your head as a viewer, as fans of the show. And it was just, it was totally like ripped my heart out.
I mean, the other part I really want to get into is the Lala part.
Oh, I mean, obviously, like, whew.
I just broke down when she said the fact that this man made me feel safe enough to bring a child into this world. Oh,
and he made me feel safe enough to bring a child into this world.
really got me.
Yeah, well, and I got emotional for the second time watching this reunion when she was talking about the relationship that she had with her night nurse and the people that were helping her through this early motherhood process, and the fact that Randall wasn't there, that tugged at my heartstrings, because Randall is Rand. I think we've all had our back and forth with him. Do we trust him? Do we not? But hearing her talk about those moments of just like, he wasn't around and these people were really there to support me, that really got me too. And I was just like, man, this poor girl. But, you know, I do have to wonder, Lala did keep him off the show for a while. And it wasn't until these last couple of seasons that he really started coming around and being more of a presence on the show. So I have to just question, how much did she really trust him? And how much was she trying to hide from their life, you know?
I don't know. Because I think the part of this for me that is interesting is, you know, you never really know what's happening behind closed doors, that whole thing.
Yeah.
But Lala does present this persona of someone who won't put up with someone else's shit.
Yeah.
And the fact that he wasn't around when she had a newborn, how could she let that stand? But I think that dynamics and relationships are so interesting to me. And just the fact that there was clearly some sort of power dynamic where that was okay to be accepted, you know?
Well, yeah, definitely. And I think the rest of the cast members kind of touch on it when they're like, well, Lala, it was always kind of an arrangement, right? You got to go on PJs, BJs for PJs, you know? It was always, in some ways, Lala used to own the fact that she was a sugar baby and that she would do whatever she needed to do to get what she wanted from the relationship. And it was sort of what we all understood their relationship to be. And so I think eventually that definitely shifted for Lala, and maybe it never shifted for Randall. And that's where the two of them stopped communicating about what was really going on in their relationship.
I was also completely fascinated with the conversation around what Randall's relationship status was when he and Lala met. Because, you know, that's something that we've never really gotten the story behind.
Yeah.
On the show, at least. And I am so curious. Because, look, if he told her he was separated, why shouldn't she believe that? But at the same time, she said that she's still now learning information about that. I'm like, what? You know, like, it's just yeek.
I know. And the other thing is, it's so easy to say, well, Lala should have known. She should have seen the signs. She knew what she was getting into. But at the end of the day, he is the one who broke her trust. He is the one who cheated. And so I, at one point throughout the reunion, I saw the narrative shifting to being like, well, Lala, why didn't you figure this out? Or how did you not realize this was going on? And sure, maybe she had blinders up, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, he is the one in the wrong. And I just hope that everyone acknowledges that to her at some point, because she is the one suffering. And now so is her daughter in some ways. You know, I mean, she's still so young, but eventually she's going to learn this information down the line.
You know, I just wish we could have heard from Randall, because there is no excuse for it, but it's still, I always want to hear. Like, I just feel like I never really get the perspective of the person who is a serial cheater. Like, even Tristan Thompson and the whole Khloe Kardashian thing. Like, we get these apologies from him on Instagram where he's just like, I love Khloe. She's the most important thing. But it's like, then why? Why did you do it? I need to know.
Right. Right. Explain thyself.
I know, but like, I really do want to understand. I once read this great article. It was like a New York mag, and it was like Confessions of a Serial Cheater. And it was this guy who's just like, yeah, I have a fiance and I cheat on her all the time.
Oh, God.
I know.
Did but she just read that article?
But no, I mean, it was anonymous. Mm. So it was, but it was just like getting into the mind of someone who does it and how they think and why they do it. It was just fascinating.
Well, do you think that Lala and James will have another go at a relationship? Because I don't know if you saw them on Watch What Happens Live a few weeks ago, because Andy asked the same question and they were both pretty cheeky and a little dodgy in their answer. But I'm curious to know what you think.
I think Lala needs someone else. I loved their friendship and all of that. But I don't know that James is ready to be a stepfather. And just, I think that Lala has become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. So I would think that maybe she'd go with someone who has some sort of, I don't know, who's older, like maybe another Randall, but not Randall.
Yeah, someone who is in a different place in their life than James. And I think that's right. Fair, because that's probably what Lala needs at the moment. But I do think that they could continue their friendship and really be a support for one another through this particular time. I mean, they're both sober. They're both, you know, leaving engagements that were really serious. I think there's a lot that they can offer each other as friends at this moment. But I agree with you. I think the romance thing, probably not. For now.
I have to admit, one of my favorite things this season and at this reunion is watching Lala and Ariana get into it.
I know.
Because they get so, like, immature with each other. Like, even Lala being like, well, we feel like we're married. You know, I just was laughing so hard.
When you go to court, I'm sure the court will care, but we feel married.
I know Lala was cracking me up because I do love Ariana, but I understand how easy it is for people to, I don't know, poke at her. And the one thing that I didn't really love was right at the end, Katie was saying something to Ariana about, you know, why do you have a, you're not in a place to speak on somebody's engagement or whatever, or the timing of things, because you don't even believe in that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And I was sort of like, okay, Katie, I think you're not making the point you think you're making, because Ariana can make whatever choice she wants for her own life, but that doesn't mean she can't have an opinion on or be happy for her friends and what's going on in their life, you know?
Yeah. I sort of saw Katie's point of view.
Interesting.
Only because, look, yes, do whatever you want. But I think it's the point of, like, I don't have a kid. It doesn't mean I can't empathize with those who do. But it does mean there are certain experiences of motherhood that I can't yet relate to.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, both of those things can exist. And, you know, like, I just think even you talking about you were talking about an engagement party or what was it? A wedding.
So my friend's sister-in-law is getting married in the same area that she did.
Right. And you were like, can you believe? And I was like, oh, you know, whatever. But at the same time, it's sort of that idea of, like, if that stuff isn't important to you, if you think weddings are silly, you wouldn't necessarily be able to relate to it, I think is what she was saying.
That's fair. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I always just, like, the way that Katie approaches some things sometimes just rubs me the wrong way. But I will say, shout out to Raquel for apologizing to Katie.
Yeah, I just wanted to apologize to Katie for what I said on Watch What Happens Live.
Does Sandoval need to be more accepting of Katie's potential role in the business, or should she butt out?
I think that she should butt out. It's Tom Sandoval and Tom Schwartz's business, I feel like she's kind of like bored with her life and she wants to insert herself. My mom had to call me and explain to me that when you marry someone, you're in a business relationship with them, and whatever business you're in technically is like a 50-50 partnership. So therefore you are entitled to your say in Tom Schwartz's 50%.
That was great, but also the look on Andy's face as Raquel, he was just like, aw, honey. Like,
I know.
Because it's like Raquel being like, and then I learned that, like, when you're married, it's a partnership.
Right. Well, and I think it does, when you put it in the context of there are financial repercussions of a marriage, sometimes you don't think of that. It's not top of mind when you hear about a marriage. It's so romanticized and glorified in this way that's just like, it's about true love. And it's like, well, no, there is a lot more to it. And so that is what Katie was essentially considering with all of that drama.
Right.
So the other moment that really got me emotional during this reunion was Sheena talking about her whole pregnancy and birth experience, where she mentioned how she was dealing with preeclampsia during the pregnancy, and then how that became HELLP syndrome during, and just the whole thing. It reminded me of MJ and everything she went through on Shaw's, and how it was just so terrifying and horrible and all of that. And seeing Sheena get so upset and realizing everyone else in the cast had no idea about that and was just learning about it in the moment. It is just so wild to think what mothers have to go through sometimes just to have a child. You know, it was just really something that hit me in a way that I didn't expect. Okay, what did you think about Barack spending $25,000 on Sheena's engagement ring and putting that on multiple credit cards?
Wait, but then she made some comment about it on social. Did you see that?
Oh, did she?
She said he thought it would be funny.
To say that he did that and he didn't actually do it?
Or to actually do it.
What's funny about that?
She said it's some sort of like Australian humor. I don't know. You guys have to look it up.
That seems like a reach to me.
You know, it's a lot of money to spend on a ring, but it's Sheena. I don't know. Didn't Britney Spears help Kevin Federline pay for her engagement ring? Maybe they should have gone
Britney Spears
route.
I mean, it's just one of those things too, where I feel a little bit like Ariana, where I'm like, really, is a ring worth you charging up and maxing out your credit cards and splitting it over here, and you're going to pay interest on it? You know, I guess that's how people make large purchases, obviously, but it's just sort of like, really, Brock, that's how you're going to go about it?
Yeah. Do you feel so lucky as a gay man that you'll never have to buy like the huge diamond ring, engagement ring?
In many ways, yes, because I know that it's also such a process. And I do think we've talked about this on the podcast before about how I have no concept of what kind of ring fits what kind of person, you know, the cut and the how it's in the ring and the band, what color is that, and diamonds around it, or is it just one diamond? You know, I just have no idea about that whole thing, and I guess I don't really have to because I'm not planning to buy Danny a diamond.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, often a guy will enlist a best friend of the bride to be, but I guess you're not the friend anyone's calling because you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be like, that one. I don't know. I do have my own personal taste in what I think a nice engagement ring would look like, but I don't know how to apply that to someone else and be like, oh, well, they would actually prefer this style. You know, it's just like not something I know.
Right.
Salt Lake City?
Yeesh.
Okay. Again, Whitney continues to push her conspiracy theories, and it's so hard to take her seriously right now, especially because she's pretty drunk.
I know. I was gonna say, when she gets this certain look in her eye as she's like going on about it, and it's just like, all right.
I do think I know what Meredith is talking about. Meredith thinks that Jen may have hooked up with the man that Meredith was seeing when she was separated from Seth. I've asked Meredith about this before.
I heard that she actually was the one that had a relationship with the guy that she gaslighted you with.
I do know that she has done some very questionable things to try to dig dirt on every single one of us.
But of course, I didn't get a clear answer because Meredith is like the queen of just like skimming over the questions she doesn't want to answer.
Right, right. And really what I'm referencing is this whole thing about Meredith and how she's catching this disproportionate amount of heat over something pretty trivial, which is that she just wasn't on the bus.
Which, by the way, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. You don't want to be on a bus for 5 hours. Like, I just don't think there's any mystery around it. You know what I mean? Who wants to be on a bus for 5 hours?
I know. And all of the conversation around, was she lying about her father's memorial? That all felt so icky to me. And I know Lisa Barlow talked about it on Watch What Happens Live, how she just, people thought that she was contributing to that or whatever. And she was just like, no, I was, you know, they were conflating two different things or whatever. But I'm just like, you know, Jen's over here facing criminal charges. Mary's essentially been accused of being a cult leader. And everyone is so preoccupied with where's Meredith and why wasn't she on the bus? And did she really have a memorial for her father? It's like, damn, like, why Meredith?
Right. Also, it seems like it's going to continue next week with them continuing to be like, did Meredith lie about? Like, it's just like, that is so, what is wrong with you?
Right. Right. I mean, it just, it all goes to show why Meredith is trying to keep herself a little removed from the group. It still doesn't explain why she aligns with Mary and has been having Mary's back.
At all. It doesn't make sense.
No, but I get why she's like, no, I'm not going to subject myself to an hours and hours long bus ride. Where people are just going to be like, well, where were you? What were you doing? How come? What did you know about Jen and all of this stuff? I mean, we saw the way Jen came for Lisa about her friendship with Meredith. Imagine if Meredith had been on the bus.
Also, to see Meredith really angry the next morning. Oh, my God. That was scary.
I know. She was fired up bright and early.
With the sunglasses on, though, I love.
I mean, I'm sure she was like a little bit hungover, so she had a little puffy eyes. She was like, let me just throw these on real quick. But yeah, that whole timeline was a little confusing to me too. And I know Lisa mentioned it on Watch What Happens Live, how she didn't just go into Meredith's room at 3. It was like they were all hanging out and she walked Meredith back to the room and kind of just mentioned it. And, you know, I love my Lisa Barlow, but she is in the background dropping bits of information to different people at weird times. But I also just understand why Meredith was so frustrated that morning, because she really felt like she had cleared everything up the night before with the group, with Jen in particular. And she really woke up that morning thinking things were squashed, or went to bed thinking things were squashed. And then Lisa was like, well, by the way, this was also going on.
Oh, crazy.
So this adventure that they all go on is quite physically taxing. But I loved it, and I was watching it the whole time being like, oh, this is the kind of adventure I would like to go on, because I do really enjoy rock climbing and being out in nature and just like having a nice time with people. And I honestly think it did heal everybody. Everyone came back from that experience feeling a lot more level-headed.
Well, because you're too busy, you know, trying not to fall off the side of a mountain to be worried about the drama, you know?
Yeah, and there is an element of bonding, because there's some teamwork involved in the experience. And I think that always gets people back to center a little bit. And these women definitely needed that, because we know previously there was, you know, Whitney trying to get them through this healing thing, and that didn't go very well. So this, which was a little more straightforward, we're going for a hike, we're going to be scaling some rocks, that really did the trick.
Right. Club Zion.
Okay, so Club Zion happens. Do you know what I'm always so curious about?
What?
So the music that we hear is
right.
Different than the music that they're listening to. But I'm also like, what are they listening to?
Bravo should have Spotify playlists for each of those nights. Like, what were they actually listening to?
Oh my God, that'd be so good. Because I'm just curious too, like, who is the one who picks the music? Because that is always important in a friend group. Like, who is the DJ? I think it's Jen. I think it's Jen Shaw.
I don't think it's Mary.
I don't think it's Mary, no. I think it's either Jen or Whitney who's like, hold on, I got the music. Don't you guys worry.
Right. That makes sense to me.
I was also talking to my friend Alana the other day, who watches Housewives, and she I think I brought up Meredith's reunion look and was kind of joking about that. And she made a comment about Meredith and said that she is a, quote, fashion icon only in her world. And
right.
I thought of it in the very last scene when Meredith comes out in that sort of black dress that's sheer and just kind of just, it's something that is very avant-garde. And I feel like if Rihanna was wearing it, I'd be like, oh, cool. But there's just something about when Meredith puts it on that I'm not always sold on.
Also, her latest interview look is very Real Housewives of Miami, I want to say.
Oh, wait, like which one?
It's like an orange slinky silk top.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's very different from her other looks.
I know. And I do feel like season one, I was on board with Meredith's fashion choices. And season two, she's taken it to a different level that I'm not sure I can follow her to.
Where you're going, we're not following.
Yeah, sorry. And on the flip side, a lot of Mary's fashion choices, season one, I was like, what is going on here? Season two, I'm buying into a little bit more.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially interview looks. Her latest one with the chain necklace and you know, it's that one works for me. Summer House?
Yeah.
I gotta wonder how Kyle and Amanda feel watching this season back.
Oh, and their families watching it.
Yeah. I mean, everyone who attended the wedding.
Right. I thought it was so interesting that Amanda was like, we're not talking about this on, like, she didn't say on camera, but that was the vibe for sure. She kept saying, not here. I don't want to ruin people's time. But like, it felt like what she was saying was not on camera.
Yeah, definitely. That's how I read that too. And Kyle makes a comment about how the spark isn't there or something along those lines. And I was like, damn, I mean, what must Amanda feel hearing that now? Even if they've already worked through it, they've discussed it, they've obviously made it down the aisle. Seeing that play back has to cause a whole new fight if she wasn't aware of that comment previously, you know?
I was trying to keep the spark alive. I had no spark. I had, like, my spark was done.
But not only that, imagine you're married. And now everyone, all of America is watching this and they're all like, don't marry him, Amanda. Don't get married, Kyle. And it's like, we already are, you know?
I know. I know. It's crazy. And I think we are going to be on such a journey with them this season. And I'm hoping by the time they get to wedding day, they are both happy and on the same page and confident in their decision. Because if we get to a point where we see Amanda is still freaking out before walking down the aisle, we're all going to leave the season being like, oh God, what's going to happen with them?
Right. I mean, look, I do think couples go through rough patches. And I don't think it necessarily means that they shouldn't be together.
Yeah.
I just think we've seen them go through a lot of rough patches. And I don't know.
I'm trying to think of the smooth patches. Like, when has there been a smooth patch?
Well, I feel like last season they were sort of in a good place. They were you know, they were like, yeah, we're annoyed having to live together and work together all the time. But like, they seemed so happy and he seemed so sad they weren't getting married. I don't know. They seemed very much on each other's teams at that time.
That's true. It was really Hannah who was causing all the issues.
What a bummer of a 4th of July party, though. It's like not only are they upset, but Danielle is picking a fight with Robert. And it's just like, why? Why you gotta do it?
Well, I know. Andrea's getting kicked in the face.
That
I mean,
was amazing.
Oh my God. I felt so bad for him because I really don't think the crime fit the punishment.
No, I mean, yeah, I don't want to make it sound like I think it's okay for a girl to kick a guy in the face.
Right.
I just am so glad we got it on camera.
I know.
And also because, yeah, what? Why? Because he threw you in the pool? That was insane.
I know. Phones are water resistant nowadays, okay? So your phone's probably fine, girl.
Oh, that was crazy. But I loved, like, Paige's reaction was mine, which she just sort of laughed. And then she was like, you know, I love getting into a fight with a girl, so I'm happy to kick them out.
Yeah, she's like, I'll get them out. Don't you worry. Well, going back to Danielle and Robert and everything that they're going through, you know, I have some friends who have dated chefs in the past. I have friends who date chefs now. The thing about chefs is that they are always going to put their work first, because it's not just their work, it's their passion. And, you know, we've seen it on Below Deck. A lot of chefs have very strong personalities, bit of an ego. I'm not sure Robert has all of those qualities, but he's obviously, he's opened a new restaurant in New York City. That is not easy, especially right now during a global pandemic. And I get where Danielle's coming from, being like, I just want to spend more time with you. But it did seem like the fight that they were having was a non-fight. And it was just like, why right now?
Right. Oh, that's the worst. When, like, I don't know. When you're looking forward to something for so long and then you're fighting with your partner during it. Ugh, the worst.
I know. And just Kyle wandering the party with that mullet wig and just being like telling everyone that he's like not in the best mood. It's just like, this is kind of, this party's kind of a bummer.
Right.
You know, I want to talk about this role reversal we're seeing with Paige and Andrea, because in Winter House, Andrea was chatting with other girls, was still interested in Paige. They were having their thing, but he wasn't all in on what was happening. He was by the end. But now we have him really being like, oh, you know, whatever you do is what you do, but I'm here. And, you know, they're still kissing and flirting and whatnot. But Paige is the one who's chatting up Craig.
You know, I was talking about this with someone that I think women put up, and, you know, it's not across the board, okay? I'm not saying all relationships follow this.
Right.
But I do feel often in a relationship, a woman will sort of chase after the man, and then there becomes a certain point where they stop and they've had enough. And I don't feel like guys have a good understanding of when that moment is, and they push it too far. And then they're like, wait, what? You're done now? And once a girl's done, I feel like she's done, you know? And I feel like that's a little bit what's happening here, is Paige liked him and now she's done. And she'll flirt with him. She'll string him along a little, but I think she's done.
Now that's interesting. I wonder if we will see elements of that in Austin and Sierra, because now we're starting to see this flirtation with Sierra and Carl. So we know Austin's coming back into the picture, but is he going to maybe pursue Sierra more because he realizes she's not as interested in him anymore? I mean, that is a really interesting and I think important observation.
Right.
I think last season I mentioned how Lindsay gives me Sonia Morgan vibes.
Yeah.
And this party was a perfect example of that, because she is wandering around, she's drinking, she's having a good time. She's just like randomly smooching Alex. She's flirting with guys over here. It just, the energy was giving me Sonia Morgan.
She's definitely in her Sonia phase of life right now, where she's just like, I just want to kiss some boys. All right.
Right. And maybe hook up with some girls. That lucky, lucky girl, whoever she is. Good on her.
No. Have you ever gone down on a girl?
No.
You guys are missing out.
Wait, Lindsay, you full blown
munched a box?
Munched a box?
No, of course I munched a box, and my box was munched too.
See, I'm getting
it. Munch a box.
It immediately
anymore.
Triggers blood flow.
All right, there's a motel over here.
Rose and Thorn?
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Yes, but I think you and I sort of have a collective one this time.
That is true.
So I want to start with the Thorn.
Okay.
This is our last recording of the Daily Dish podcast.
That is very, very true. And it's a thorn, a little bit of a dagger also.
Yeah.
But it has been such an amazing journey. And I'm so grateful to have been a part of it with you, because, I mean, you started the whole thing.
I mean, look, and that's the rose, I guess, is like how amazing this all has been. There, for anyone who's listened from the beginning, you know, the podcast has gone through different iterations, different ebbs and flows, and doing it with you, Eric, has been such a joy. Doing it with our producer, Britt, has been so amazing. And being able to interact with all of the listeners week over week. And it's just, that's the part I'm going to miss the most, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and thank you all for listening for as long as you have and sending us your feedback and sharing your thoughts. It's always so fun to hear everyone else's perspective on what's going on our shows. And I think that's really helped us look at all sorts of things in different ways.
Absolutely.
Should we do a rose from our time on the podcast?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, being guest bartenders on Watch What Happens Live is always going to be such an amazing memory.
Yeah.
You know, I have really, over these last couple of years, missed our in-person interviews because there were always so many good ones. You know, whenever shows were premiering, we would get all the cast members into the office. And I really miss that, like, one-on-one connection with our guests.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's been great to catch up with them in the last couple of years, you know, virtually. But it is so different when you're there in person. And I think outside of bartending on Watch What Happens Live and our time, you know, at BravoCon and everything, I think one of my roses would be interviewing NeNe Leakes. She was one of the last in-person ones that we did, or that I did. And she's obviously one of the most famous housewives. To me, she is the one who kind of put it on the map. Sorry, Ramona. But, you know, and that was, she was so delightful, and so many people that we've talked to are delightful. And not to say that they are not exactly who they are on our shows, but everyone has been, for the most part, super kind and professional and just really enjoyable.
Absolutely. And I mean, we're not going anywhere. You know, we still work at Bravo. We'll still be on social, you know, talking about these shows, but it's definitely going to be a change and a sad one.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we both have some upcoming projects, I think. I know you're still doing Life After Bravo. We have some after shows coming up this year. So, like Megan said, we'll still be around.
So, once again, thank you all for listening.
We love you all. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at BravoTV.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.